your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John, please. The Gospel of John. John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You turn there with me, please. And then I will pick up reading in verse 31. John chapter 8. Start verse 30. John chapter 8, verse 30. When you get there, would you say amen?
Amen?
All right. That's most of you. All right, here we go. John chapter 8, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. That's always a good thing. Amen? Praise God. When people hear the words of the living God and they believe on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. I want to bring out the truth tonight of the wonderful message that Jesus declares to all that believe Him. They are truly, praise God, set free. And the ministry that we are looking to launch in February of 2024 is a ministry that you've heard me talk about several times over the past couple years, and that is Freedom That Lasts. Well, we have prayed about this. We've had a couple meetings around it, and we just believe we're right on schedule for launching what God would have us to do by faith. It is by faith. We've never done this as a church. It is a long-term investment. We're not looking just for a firework display here. We're looking for, it's going to be an endurance ministry. It's going to be us establishing a discipleship ministry to our community of those that are struggling, especially members in our church that are struggling with particular sins, particular habits, or even particular hurts from the past. Like I've mentioned before, the man that I met in town a couple months ago, who is in his later years of life, but he shared with me, a man that's quite successful as a businessman, and he confided in me, though, after he got saved. He said, Brinson, he said, one of the things I've been dealing with all my life is the hurts that came from my mother. His mother would talk down to him and verbally abuse him and things of that nature. And he shared with me, boy, it's really affected my life. It's hurt me. And there's some things and habits that I've had in my life that I've tried to medicate with to numb that. And folks, that happens and can happen to all of us to some degree, can it not? We find avenues other than God Himself to bring us satisfaction, to bring some sort of relief, if you will. But I believe tonight I'm going to share several aspects of this truth. Now, as Jesus was talking to these that had believed, that had truly believed, Jesus made a statement. He said, now that you've believed, He said, if you'll continue in my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed. And I'm reminded that many times we make the mistake as local churches is that when someone comes to know Christ, we leave them there.
we do not take them right from that point and disciple them so that they can grow in the Lord and that they can truly find freedom in the Lord, not only from the penalty of sin, which that is salvation. That happens immediately. We don't have to work. Thank God. I mean, thank God that I don't have to work to earn the penalty off. The penalty is gone because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's complete. I'll never face the penalty of sin. But also, God wants me here on this earth and you to experience victory over the power of sin. And it really captivates many around us in our own lives at times. And so what do we do as a local church? We realize that there is truly, and I don't say this just to exaggerate, there is a famine in the land. It is in fact so bad, and it's gotten worse. But just a couple years ago, Sheriff Mangum posted on the front door of I believe most every Bible believing church in the community. I know she did it here. A letter saying, basically asking for help, saying, we have so many addicts in this community, from the fentanyl, from the methamphetamines, alcoholism. I mean, it's just rampant right here, South Jackson, all around us. And as a church, I do believe we have a God-given responsibility to have a discipleship ministry to where we can open our doors to the people of this community to seek to find victory. Amen? That's our responsibility. And so we're going to do it. Jesus spoke to them and he says, you have been set free if you have believed in me. And the truth of the Word of God is what's going to bring victory. Now, some of them answered him and said, now listen, we've never been into bondage to any man. As Jews, they're basically saying, look, we're Jews. What is this you're talking about, bondage? That's what a lot of people in the world say. I'm not in bondage. I can quit any time. Yeah, right. But was that true? Had the Jews been in bondage to anybody before here? Oh, yeah. The Jews had been. What about Pharaoh? Who else were they in bondage to? Yes, the Romans. What about before then? Yeah, the Babylonians. They had certainly been in bondage. And you know, to some degree or another, we understand that that's what sin does. When you have sin in your life that's continuously there, it puts you in bondage. Now, let me be clear here. I don't know that there's a person here that hasn't sinned at some point today. Okay? I'd find that hard to believe. If you have been without sin today, would you please stand? I'm just kidding, all right? But this is not what it's talking about. When we're talking about a ministry like this, folks, this is what we're talking about. It's talking about a sin that is simply, it just has you in bondage. You can't break free. It's a stronghold. And it could be various things. It doesn't have to be a substance abuse. It can be an attitude of the heart. It could really be anxiety. Okay? There are a lot of different degrees of bondage that come into the believer's life. And so it's not going to be like this ministry is like, oh, it's for those people. No, it's for all of us that are willing to go through it. I understand not everybody's going to participate in this. I hope everyone will indirectly. And I do believe we got a good many signed up from our last meeting about 6 months ago, where there is going to be, I believe, a good strong participation. But nevertheless, it is going to be healthy for this local church. It's going to be healthy for us that are members and believers here, and those that are currently here, and also those that will be coming that are seeking freedom, true freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. We want to be a lighthouse. As someone once said, we don't want to be a church that's a museum of saints. We want to be a church that's a hospital for sinners, where people are being healed and strengthened and rehabilitated and growing, as we discussed and preached this morning about metamorphosis, the transformation that is taking place in the believer's life. But as we see here, there are many that are just simply servants to sin. And that's what he's talking about here. He's not just talking about somebody that sins, because we as believers, we know, thank God, when we go through, we do sin every day, and that's where I was going. But what do we do immediately as believers when we sin? We confess and ask for forgiveness, to restore that fellowship, not to gain favor with God, to be forgiven of our sins as far as penalty is concerned. That's done. But daily we confess and we make that right with God. But there is a step further when that's just not doing it. It just seems to always be coming back and crippling you spiritually. And that's where I believe this ministry will come into place. And that's where we're going to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Freedom That Lasts was started by Brother Jim Berg. And what a blessing the ministry has grown into. And it has a philosophy that I would like just to mention a few things about that. Three major points here for Freedom That Lasts philosophy is, first, is we understand this ministry goes from the perspective that addictions begin with choices. We don't believe that addictions are a disease. It's a choice. We recognize that, like, there are snowballing physical consequences for using drugs and alcohol, no doubt about it. That's certainly there. But we believe that every addiction and life-dominating sin begins with choices, not a disease. Now, these choices issue from a heart that turns to, get this, to something in creation. That's the key. It turns to something in creation, a substance. It could be a behavior. It could be another person, codependence, whatever that may, etc. And what do? They do that as a way to respond to the difficulties of life. Now get this, apart from God. And so what we want to facilitate and have a ministry is saying, look, we all can deal with these hang-ups, these hurts, and these habits, and you can bring them, but they will not be found. You will not find victory apart from God Himself. It's a discipleship ministry, getting people to the Lord. But then secondly, not only do we understand that begin with choices, but God's recovery program is sanctification. Now, it's not some magic pill, as I mentioned this morning. It's not. It's a doctrine called sanctification, and it begins with Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. It's not complicated. It begins with Him, the gospel. That's what we will teach. That's what we will build off of. It is the groundwork for biblical change, as we have been preaching in Romans chapter 12. A student that will come in to this ministry will not see any God-honoring, lasting change until he or she first becomes a child of God. Salvation is the truth that will be the first step. Now, following that, once in the family of God, a person can begin the process of taking on the likeness of Jesus and His character through sanctification. And I mentioned that this morning, didn't I? What is the perfect will of God? It is Jesus in us, Him living what? Through us. That is the goal. So a Christ-centered addiction program will see its ministry to addicts primarily as a discipleship ministry. The individual in bondage to a life-dominating sin needs to come to Christ for salvation and then be discipled to that maturing walk and the Spirit in obedience to the Word of God. This is God's plan, get it, for Freedom That Lasts. It's life on life. It's being with them and being with each other. And I believe
the Lord is going to bless it. It's God's recovery program. It's sanctification. That's where it comes from. Now, get this. Thirdly, we need to understand in Freedom That Lasts philosophy is God's support group is the local church. God's support group is the local church. That's us. God intended for His people to find teaching, mutual support, accountability within biblical, sound, local assemblies like Crooked Creek Baptist Church, where we assemble together, we encourage one another, we love one another, we pray for one another, and we're there for one another as we continue as Jesus' disciples. You see, straying sheep are easy prey for wolves. But a believer who is not united in a community of a local church of believers under the preaching of God's Word and experiencing the comfort and accountability of fellow believers will not last long. So it's not just about coming to a Friday night meeting. Our emphasis will be, in order for you to get victory, sir or ma'am, is for you to be plugged in to a local Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. And if they don't have one, we're hoping that they will come and be a part of our family. And so that we can encourage them and them encourage us. But if they're part of another assembly, it's fine, because it would be for them as well. I understand this. Just recently, I've been ministering to a dear brother that is heartbroken. He realizes that he made a mistake and got away from the local church. That's God's support group. And made some decisions where it was one service and another service, and finally it was just too much to come and it was just inconvenient, and they got to it when they could, and now the family is falling apart. It breaks my heart. But truly, we believe that this is God's support group that He has for us. Now, depending on a student's spiritual growth, Freedom That Lasts is not necessarily to be long, long term. The ideal time for recovery would be, for instance, 1 year to 3 years. 1 to 3 years, a person coming through the program, because obviously most addicts experience up to 2 years of ups and downs spiritually and physically before experiencing a habit of steady victory. So we understand that is our philosophy. And so with that all being said, right now we've had several that are interested in helping. I know Christian Heiss especially, I've been in touch with playing a lead role in seeing this ministry launch. We've been talking and working through it. I know Brother Christian has a heart for it, and several others have mentioned, hey, we'd like to help in some way. And so we'll be getting more details about that in the coming days. We've had one meeting, and we'll have another one here, in the next few weeks. Hopefully before Christmas we could get that meeting in, just to go over some of the details, because we will look at some training in January. But nevertheless, there are others that have shown interest, and I thank God for that. And I want it to be something that it does come from the heart. I don't want to feel anybody to be pressured. It may just be us starting off. We may not have anybody come from the community starting off. That's okay, because we will benefit from it. We will go through a book together. It's the intro book, and then there'll be there's three books total that you go through as a student. And really, it's set up to be a fellowship time on Friday evenings. And so what I would like to do at this time is just perhaps open it up for any questions that you may have about this ministry. And we certainly want to pray for it this evening. We will end that as I get you more details. It would be the time. You may think, what kind of time frame would it look? Well, the director and some select workers would arrive, for instance, at 6:30 on a Friday night to get set up and things like that. The students would be arriving at 7.
The program would end probably around 9:10. So it'd be about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours long, and then there'd be fellowship if you chose to, if the students chose to, afterwards. Usually there'd be just sandwiches and soup, something light like that for just a fellowship, connect, and that would be every Friday night. And we would just seek to be consistent with that. And we would certainly set it up to where there could be subs if you couldn't make it for one of the nights. But that's something, again, we're not looking to do this temporarily. We want this to be a part of who we are as a discipleship church. And I believe God's going to help us in that. In fact, I do believe that we're really, you know, in many ways have Satan's tried to fight us on this to keep this from happening. But I believe the Lord is greater than him. Amen. Any questions about this ministry? Any thoughts, prayers, comments?